This is the Midday 180.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski. On 104.5 The Zone.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. The crew is here at the Titans Locker Room Team Store. You can stop by here for game day. You can stop by here on your way to the game Sunday. Right here at this location is where you'll find pregame coverage. You can grab a t-shirt from Farm Bureau Health Plans, protecting Tennesseans since 1947, online fbhp.com. Titans and Ravens this Sunday. The Titans with a chance to pick up where they left off last year in the postseason and make another run. This time, the offense setting all kinds of records here in the mid-state.
A lot different than any Titans-Ravens playoff game before, considering the talent on offense, really, on both sides. These have never been talented offensive teams in a postseason setting. It's always been a, 13-10, right?
Yeah, 12 years ago. That's what it was.
Some odd, low number. So, different deal. I sent out a picture of that playoff paint, and I flipped it because it was an awkward angle, and it was upside down. The wording was upside down. So, the upside down picture has gotten a lot of attention for being trippy. I said, if I knew upside down pictures were going to garner so much attention on Twitter, I would have started sending them a long time ago. Go around and take some upside down pictures.
No, Paul, that photo honestly made me nauseous.
Yeah.
Yes. You know how you, that moment.
You're welcome.
That moment right when your stomach drops when you're on a roller coaster. For some reason, every time I look at that, that's what happens.
Well,
photo are we talking about?
I took a picture of the wild card logo on the field, but I took it from down by the field angle, so it was kind of far away and low. And then I flipped it so that the words were facing you, but it looks very clearly upside down.
I need to see this
down.
Photo now.
Yeah, go look at my Twitter.
Is this on Insta or on
Twitter? No, on Twitter. You know I lean Twitter over Insta.
Yeah. Are you a big Fleet guy also?
I do Fleet. I just Fleet my tweets.
Oh, okay. Now I see your Fleet.
Fleet tweet.
Fleet tweet.
Let's do this because we haven't.
My tweet.
We go to break. Chad's looking for a break.
That sounded dirty. We haven't done a lot of this.
Yeah, it's kind of dirty.
We haven't. There's a hip hop.
Paul will fleet your tweet.
That's right.
Leave a letter out of there, and the FCC. We're talking to Ajit Pai.
When you pay for a PaulKuharski.com membership, you're getting your money's worth. Let me tell you that.
I write out curse words in my thing. That's another differentiator.
Ajit Pai is a fan of the Midday 180.
Yes, he is.
We probably got a free pass or two in us.
Sure.
So
one each.
We have not taken a ton of phone calls this week. Let's do that.
Bring them up.
I don't think we've taken maybe one phone call today. Maybe. Let's take some calls. 615.
Who remembers?
737-1045. 737-1045. Get your thoughts on the matchup this weekend.
Let me know if the picture nauseated you.
Feelings going into the game. If you feel like David Reed does, like you're on a roller coaster about to vomit when you look at Paul's photos. Not photos of Paul.
Yeah.
But the photo that you took.
Those nauseate some people.
If you want to let us know that, you can as well.
A small percentage of women find it very attractive.
737-1045, 737-1045.
I see the Titans pulling out a very close classic game on Sunday. That's my gut feeling on how it goes down.
I felt that way early in the week, and the more I've thought about it and written about it, the more I've talked myself into the other way. But we know I don't predict. So I'm go to the game, talk to Titans Radio 15 minutes before it with some final thoughts with you and Mr. Wyatt. Sit down and watch it all unfold.
615-737-1045, our number. The schedule for the weekend, it kicks off tomorrow. Paul and I were mentioning, Chad, you were up looking at some gear here at the Pro Shop about how we'll be glued to the TV tomorrow for football.
That's a long day of TV watching. I have to get up and take laps at some point, like just to... do you ever like find your, oh my God, I've been sitting here for a long time. Oh yeah, my God.
Especially with these terrible chairs.
I just like not having to wait around until 3 o'clock, right? You know, the old wild card Saturday was always 3, and then there was a night game.
Yeah. It's a long
one. I like starting at noon and then just going one game, bleeding into the other, and then start it all over again.
Tomorrow's a chicken. I do declare. I don't know if Teresa's listening. Tomorrow will be a chicken wing day at the Kuharski household. We will be ordering from Jefferson. That's the declaration I've made.
So, among the road teams, Let's say other than the Ravens, because I think the Ravens would qualify as the answer to the question. Which road team is the Titans of 2019? Is it the Colts, who will go on the road at Buffalo tomorrow for the 12:05 kickoff at on CBS? Seahawks hosting the Rams at 3:40 on Fox, and then Washington hosts Tampa Bay, road team, despite having a considerably better record. That's the night game tomorrow night on NBC. That's in the same time slot as Titans-Patriots was a year ago. And then, of course, Sunday, Titans-Ravens at noon, and New Orleans hosting Chicago at 3:40, Pittsburgh hosting Cleveland on NBC Sunday night.
Well, first, some initial thoughts, right? I think Washington is going to play better than people think. I think their offense will be bad. I think Tampa Bay is going to probably win it, but I don't think it's a blowout because I think that they are going to get pressure on Tom Brady and frustrate him. I think, though, if you look at it, everybody's excited about the slate. Washington stinks and Chicago stinks. So usually we're used to a four-game weekend, and there are two games that could very likely suck. Right? And then a lot of people are thinking the Browns are going to suck because of the COVID thing. I'm holding out hope that the Browns are going to play a good game and that the Steelers are going to not be – but the Steelers have not found themselves. Hutton, you were saying they played – I think you were saying earlier, you know, they played one good half.
I think that's a
like,
good game.
Oh, everything's fine now. The Steelers are back to being the Steelers. I think that's going to be a good game. And I think Cleveland might be the team that if they can get through this weekend and get back to themselves post-COVID – is the team that could go on the Titan-like run. Offensive line, very good. Run game, very good. They have the qualities that you like in a travel recipe. I don't know. Their defense, not great. But you've got the one home run pass rusher in Myles Garrett, who's a difference maker on defense. Titans didn't even have that ingredient on their defense last year, though they were efficient. Part of that's rooting because and part of it's that I can't find anybody else. What do you think?
What would be the biggest surprise of this weekend?
Washington.
Bears winning or Washington winning?
I think they'd both be monumental surprises.
I think the Bears winning would be more surprising.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I'm taking the Bears on the more surprising round.
I also don't think the Rams would be a huge surprise because the Rams shockingly are a defensive football team. I don't know how that came to pass.
Sean McVay, defensive wunderkind.
Right.
We've always said it for years.
It's like defensive guy. It's like when Brian Billick became a defensive guy. You know, your personality dictates that stuff.
They got the defensive MVP and Aaron Donald, and they have Jalen Ramsey on the outside.
Yeah.
But it doesn't surprise me that they're a defensive team. But their money's invested on that side of the ball.
But their head coach is the offensive guru, right? They fired their defensive coordinator after the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, it's like the Titans. The Titans have a defensive guru as their head coach, and they're an offensive team.
Yeah.
They've thrown in the towel defensively.
It's funny how it goes against the grain sometimes there. What have you read about Goff's thumb?
People don't know what to expect with him.
I can't imagine they win with the substitute, but Seattle... I think Seattle's, a bit of a mystery also, like what you're going to get. And I know everybody's tendency is just to lean on the quarterbacks. So the pick there is Russell Wilson just because they're home and they've got Russell Wilson. I hope these games are tight and I hope there are surprises.
There will be.
I have trouble believing in Indianapolis because I'm a real buyer on Buffalo.
And I think we're, if not for the play caller being out with Cleveland, with Stefanski,
I'd be higher
on the Browns.
I'd be all the way in on the Browns.
Because we've seen it here with the practice. You know, the virtual game planning didn't hurt the Titans against the Bills.
The Titans personnel-wise were not as... I'm having trouble now remembering who they were without COVID, though. They were
Corey Davis was one of them.
Yeah.
Daquan Jones.
A.J. Brown was not out of that game. Kirby, please stop chiming in.
No, he's asking who was out.
Please stop asking me.
Coming up, the truth according to Kirby.
Yes.
Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180 delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Chad's mic is muted.
And now I'm back.
Let's all just long pause.
Yeah.
I love how also you, Kirby's been talking off air for a lot of the show, and you hype up that Kirby segment's coming up.
It disappears.
That's the segment where he doesn't have my mic.
And that's the segment where he's finally quiet.
The Titans are AFC South champions.
Oh, I'm coming up next. Let me go outside.
We're going to help you celebrate by giving you a chance to win great products that are built for champions by Orca Coolers. Be caller number 5 right now for your chance to win a Tennessee Titans 27-ounce Orca Coolers Chaser. You qualify to win the grand prize of a Tennessee Titans 40-quart Orca Cooler that we will announce a winner for later today at 545 on 3HL, 615-737-ZONE, 615-737-0663. I was getting organized here for the Truth According to Kirby that's coming up in a moment after Reed gets his winner. I'll be honest, I was reading through this and I was having to figure out if he forgot to put in the options here. But he did not. He did not. He,
it's complicated, it's complicatedly done
well,
by Kirby.
No, the way I've organized it for myself. My brain couldn't comprehend it, but now I get it now. And
yeah,
it's actually
people,
very good.
Most people's brains can't comprehend Kirby.
It's actually very good. Yeah, that's right. Again, Reed, give me the thumbs up if you've got, you know, Reed's got his winner. Okay, Truth According to Kirby starts right now.
And now it's time for Nashville's most honest game show. It's The Truth According to Kirby.
Tell me, sweet lies.
Two of these statements are lies. The other, the truth. Maybe.
U.S. Olympics 1980, the game was televised 4 days after the event.
And here's your host, Bob Barker's nephew himself, according to Kirby.
That's not true!
It's John Hutton.
You can't handle the truth.
Thank you, Davis Reed, the chairman of the board. Kirby Allen Kirby, the fourth host of Midday 180, whenever we're on location. January 1988.
A beautiful time.
I'm a freshman.
This is one of those rare occasions where a significant date in a person's life just so happens to fall on the exact same day of the week. For it was on this day, Friday, January 8, 1988, that a massive snowstorm hit Nashville. Covering the area with several inches of snow, plunging temperatures, and setting into motion an event Kirby would never forget.
Never.
I mean, does he forget anything?
He never forgets any of these things we talk about.
After spending most of the weekend digging out from and playing in the snow, the exhausted Kirbys settled in about midnight for some much-needed sleep before the coming work week.
Midnight.
He's got it. The guy's got to sleep.
They were playing in the snow until midnight?
It's very tight.
When at precisely 4:10 a.m., when the then Mrs. Kirby woke him from his slumber to tell him what? There's someone in the house downstairs, which turned out to be a raccoon who had chewed through the neighbor's back porch.
Longtime family pet after that.
An inebriated neighbor was knocking at the door to inform them that their water main was frozen. It broke, and it was showering both condos with freezing water, creating an ice castle. Or, I think my water just burst. Leading to a wild rush to the hospital where he would welcome the first little Kirby into the world.
Or D, I want a divorce. That's where I thought this was going.
All right, I've got the...
4:10 a.m.
I've got the three entrees. Just give me the setup again.
Okay, the setup is they'd spent all weekend digging out from and playing in the snow, and the exhausted Kirby settled in about midnight for some much-needed sleep before the coming work.
When did Nashville move to Buffalo?
They frolicked in the snow.
I can't think of a time in Nashville where there's been snow tunnels digging out, walking through.
If she was this...
Is this lake effect snow?
If she was this...
This is so unbelievable.
If she was this pregnant, I'm thinking that she wasn't frolicking so much in the snow.
Damn it, I love this show. So good.
If she was this pregnant, I think that her frolicking would have been minimized. Though, I could see Kirby completely deserting her, leaving her in her bigness, while he frolicked. So,
did this induce labor?
Yeah.
This frolicking in the snow.
I'm not eliminating it. Ice castles, I think.
You can't eliminate anything.
We never eliminate anything.
You can't eliminate anything.
You try, but it's hard. The ice castles just takes me back to the movie, which I love. Who is the woman in the movie?
What movie are you talking about?
Ice castles? Isn't that the movie with the hockey player that turned into the figure skater?
I've never heard of
her. She knows exactly what I'm talking about.
The cutting edge.
Cutting edge. All right.
Never saw that.
Ice castles?
There's an ice castles movie. Somebody's looking it up.
The Cutting Edge is the name of a lawn care company somewhere.
The Cutting Edge is the movie I'm confusing for Ice Castles. It's a great film.
It's also the name of like a workout facility somewhere.
Inebriated neighbor comes over and says frozen
get
water.
Get fit at the Cutting Edge.
Frozen water, by the way, is ice.
Get cut.
I like that one. I like the drunken neighbor. I pictured Dennis Quaid playing the part of the drunken neighbor. Or the raccoon.
That is what Kirby would say. The raccoon.
Here's Ice Castle.
It's a 1978 film.
It's a redhead in it.
Yeah. Ice Castles is a 1978 American romantic drama starring Holly Johnson and Robbie Benson. It is the story of Lexi Winston, a young figure skater, and her rise and fall from superstardom.
Thank you. Kirby, please, your time to talk is coming.
Grab your mic, Porthos.
There's a microphone right there.
The raccoon, I think, would really become the family pet and only recently have died. And they're probably, this raccoon's spawn is probably still the family pet, though who knows which way they would have gone in the divorce proceeding and the settlement.
Ice Castles grossed $20 million.
Wow.
At that time, that's big money.
Yes.
Robbie Benson, Kirby.
One-on-One is a good movie that Robbie Benson was in. The basketball movie.
Take your scholarship with a red hot poker. A red hot poker.
Yes. I like that movie.
Yes. Very good. It was on HBO every 20 minutes.
Man, I'm looking at a picture of Robbie Benson now, and it's disturbing.
All right, Chad,
I've gone down a Robbie Benson wormhole right now already.
Chad, you're my advisor. Get out of the wormhole and tell me which of these answers prevents me from having to compliment Kirby's clothes.
I think it's the birth of his first young Kirby, if I had to guess.
She a Kirby or a Kirbette?
Paul, gaze upon Robbie Benson today.
Oh, dear God.
Is that not disturbing?
Was he burned? I hope he wasn't burned.
No, I mean, he looks good.
That first picture at the top left looks like Dennis Miller to me.
Yeah, a little bit. But see, there's Robbie Benson. Is he with the surfboard there, whatever it is, shirtless? That's the Robbie Benson we're talking about. We know.
That's the one that Chad grew up
easy.
With easy. To Billy Joel.
Homer, feelings about
questioning a lot of things.
Did you fleet his tweets?
Oh, that's good.
You're saying the little Kirby, the water burst?
Yeah, I think little Kirby came about that night. The future truth, according to Kirby, is him tunneling to the hospital.
Digging their way out.
You're going water burst. So, I'm going pipes burst.
Pipes burst.
I didn't even understand what you said.
Pipes burst. The frozen water. The ice castle.
Okay, so Paul goes with neighbor. The inebriated neighbor was knocking
Randy
at the
Quaid.
Door to inform them that their water main was frozen. It broke and was showering both condos with freezing water, creating an ice castle of each.
But I think it's probably going to be the raccoon.
Okay, so that's Paul's,
let's cover all our bases.
That's Paul's answer is number two. Kirby, today's truth, please.
Little Megan Kirby was born at 1:20 p.m. on Monday, January the 11th, after a blizzard-like storm hit on Friday. And we did spend most of the weekend shoveling snow out of our long driveway so that we could be prepared for the work week. When at 4:10 a.m. she woke up and said, and her exact words were, "Don't be angry, but I think my water just broke."
Was the child due at this time?
She was a week overdue.
Week overdue, so you sent your wife out to shovel snow. It's a good,
well, no, but she's a country girl. She was out having fun in the snow. We were out four-wheeling in the snow.
Were you having fun or were you shoveling?
Oh, we shoveled. I shoveled, she watched, then we went out four-wheeling later. But
well, congratulations on the birth of this
we
child.
We had done the...
what is she doing now?
Which one?
the birth of the child.
Well, the child's fine. She'll be 33 on Monday.
I know the divorce records don't allow you to speak of your ex-wife.
Well, she seems to be doing well, too.
Was Megan your daughter when I came over for the tornado relief?
No, that was McKay.
I know McKay. She's been around the show a few times.
Kirby, we know your ex-wife's doing fine with that huge alimony money that you're sending her away.
Oh, yeah. So, basically,
Eddie!
We had done the Lamaze classes, and we did the test drive, and everything out to Baptist, you know, the child
pantry.
In the month and a half, from the time we did the dry run, as they call it, until we arrived
Without the water bursting, it's dry.
And we arrived at 20 minutes till 5 a.m. They had moved the maternity entrance clear to the other side of the hospital without telling anyone.
This is where Kirby gets deep into the lie.
So I get
their dry run and the birth of the child, they had rearranged the entire hospital.
They had.
They moved the maternity
room. I am standing in an empty lobby that is dark going, oh, my God, where's everybody at? They were all here a month and a half ago.
Listen to the lie, Bill.
A lady walks in. She goes, can I help you? I tell her that my wife is going to have a baby. She said,
this is the dying section of the hospital.
Sir, this is a vet.
We moved the birthing section to the other side.
You need to fill out this form. And I said, no, you don't understand. She's in the car. And so she turns around. She goes, oh, just a moment. Reams around and pulls this little string coming out of a switch on the wall. When these doors burst open and four people go blowing by me out to the car, grab up Patty, throw her in a wheelchair, and then go blowing past me again on their way somewhere into the hospital. When I realized and I said, wait a minute, you forgot her bag and her focal point, this little stuffed animal. So I go out and grab that, turn around, and I don't know where they are in this hospital.
Was the stuffed animal a raccoon?
Did you walk in another room? Please tell me you did.
No, I did not. I was.
Walked in another room, and then he birthed a different child.
Yeah. Right.
Because the doctor wasn't there at the time.
Yeah. I was chasing blindly down the hall going, which way to the head? Occasionally someone would point me to the right.
Maybe I was dreaming this.
All right.
Did you at once tell us that you actually delivered your child while the doctor watched? Like you were a part of
I delivered both. But now Megan, there was a medical complication because her umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck.
So he had to step in.
Right. She was about the headed crowned. I don't want to get too graphic, but.
No, please.
She's on her way. She's on her way into my hands when the nurse uses whatever that code word is for the umbilical cord.
Okay.
She says a word.
Umbilical cord.
No, it's like.
Cut the cord.
She
cut
called
cord.
It something. It's a
code red.
Keep trying.
Code purple.
But she says this word.
Doers.
Smoke them if you got
them. Camel.
Omaha.
Exactly. Something to that effect. She says a word. The doctor says, oh. Next thing you know, my little wheeled bench is heading into a corner, and I'm on it, and they are all over it until finished delivering the child. Now, the second one delivered her without an issue whatsoever on my own. With the doctor standing by and all that stuff. But I refuse to cut umbilical cords.
Well, that's where you draw the
line. I'll birth the child, but I'm not cutting that cord.
Paul, Chad, can you guys imagine being in the room and delivering your child while the doctor watched?
Yeah. Oh, he goes, you're doing fine.
If it was Dr. Bombay.
No. You're doing fine. Go ahead.
I've never looked below the sheet.
But you didn't want the medical professional with the hands-on
expertise? Well, that's the whole point.
No, this doctor was learning
and all that stuff, so you do deliver your child. I mean, they may do it differently nowadays. Been a few years since we've had one. But
the doctor was like, Kirby, I learned so much from watching you deliver this child.
But
it's unbelievable.
He's a coach on the sideline.
I'm going to hang a new degree on my wall.
But this may be weird, and this may be senseless, but when it comes to him cutting the umbilical cord, for some reason, with the little snips in my hand, I thought, this will induce pain to either of the two, I wouldn't do it.
Okay, so you let the medical professional
you do that. But because for some reason or other, it seemed like by cutting that, I was going to create pain for
first,
one of the two.
Do no harm.
But anyway. But yeah.
See, Kirby, the saying is first,
it's impressive.
Do no harm.
So one and a half delivery.
Most of the time, we don't get to second, because do no harm is so good, right? It's been a real
showstopper. Yeah, I can't think of big words like you, though.
No, just listen to me. Do no harm is so good. First, do no harm, real showstopper. Nobody ever got the second. Second is don't lie like crazy. But we never get to that. Do I have to compliment now?
For 15
seconds.
You got
to lay it on.
Here's my compliment. You're lying has gotten so extraordinarily good that segments of our audience of hundreds of thousands of people believe all of this crap that you're saying. They think that you've delivered children. They think that you've walked
truly a masterpiece.
Barefoot through
it's hundreds of thousands
through deserts.
Or 40.
They think that you've tunneled through snow caves in Tennessee and lifted cars with one hand. Help me out, guys. Save giraffes from straws that were choking them and leading to their impending death.
Been accused of being a murderer.
Yeah, they think that you
falsely accused.
You've talked the authorities out of murder charges. Your lying is spectacular. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's believable. That's what I mean. Your unbelievable lying has become believable.
All I'm waiting for is a ghostwriter.
You don't need a ghostwriter.
It's Paul.
I mean, you need somebody to write down the words, perhaps, because you may be illiterate. I don't know. But
I've seen his handwriting.
It shows every day.
I commend you.
Thank you.
Lebowski says, quote, at precisely 4:10 a.m. is the exact moment I knew this is a full-on lie.
Yeah, the precision.
Well, no, I looked at the clock and I saw 4:10. And then according to the Lamaze doctor, we had an hour and a half to get to the hospital. So I did what any other expectant dad would do. I got up, took a shower, shaved. And then I got her in car, took her to the hospital.
Rooming with Kirby on the road.
Listen to this line.
All these years. I can tell you at precisely 4:10 a.m. is when he gets up for his third cigarette break to go downstairs to the hotel.
At 4:10 a.m., I'm already at the location where we're supposed to be on a Super Bowl trip.
That is a symbolic awakening. But whenever it's just us.
Well, yeah, we've never gone on the Super Bowl.
He's never not been up at that time since that.
Since 4:10 a.m., the birth of his first child, he awakens at 4:10 a.m. every day.
Screams in agony.
I only wish that Kirby had a
it's like sympathy pains, but it's okay. Sympathy awakening.
Real quick, the other two examples, did those things happen just not on this day?
No, I made those up.
Okay. There's always some kind of truth with your other examples.
Well, now
too.
On occasion, if I'm struggling to come up with a fake, I'll use some insignificant thing that has happened. But with both of those, I literally just made them up. I had one that was going to be one of the selections was going to be her appendix burst, but I thought, okay, that's a dead giveaway if her appendix burst and or her water burst. So, and then after I wrote them and I was sending them to you, I thought, oh man, I've got a water main bursting and her water bursting. Yeah. Which one?
You can't go burst.
Yeah, yeah.
See, any good liar does that. You can't double burst.
It sold you.
Oh,
all I
can
say, I got lucky.
Look, what sells me is that they're all lies and it's hard to choose one lie
if you
from
want
the
truth, if you want the truth, according to Kirby,
rating your favorite children when we talk about the truth, according to Kirby.
I go down to the library into the paperback section and pull a random Harlequin romance and just flip through and just put a finger on it.
See, that's
read
a
that
bad
paragraph
lie. Now
and
you're
make
telling
it
the truth because it's not good.
I have a special affinity for childhood Kirby stories. In Ohio.
Yeah, you don't like the adult
I just
Kirby.
Like to guess if he's smoking or not at the age he's talking about in his
childhood. Most of the time the answer
whatever
would
be yes. Whatever the lie is, we just want to know if in the lie he was smoking or not.
Pre or post third grade, you know it.
11 years old. That's the line of demarcation for Kirby and his smoking.
Well, no, that's the line. That's the, to be honest and embarrassingly, that's the age that I just said, hey, who cares if they know I'm smoking?
The only thing better than a lie is a true story no one believes. But Kirby hasn't gotten to that yet. My good friend, Cameron, who I tell you guys about all the time, the guy that doesn't get hung over, that was his yearbook quote.
I love Cameron for that reason. No, I'm not hung over. Just a bit of a headache, dry mouth.
Sweaty.
A little queasy.
Feel a little peaked.
Midday 180.
Just listening.
Delivered by Edley's Barbecue. Wrapping up the Midday 180 with Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski. I'm Jonathan Hutton. Huge thank you to David Reed, the chairman of the board, the best in the business at what he does.
Dennis.
Same to Kirby, Alan Kirby.
Kirby's truly one of a kind. I don't know that you can even compare Kirby to any other engineers because there's only one Kirby.
The liar.
There's no one else like him.
The liar.
He's the only man that serves his occupation.
Lies, all lies.
If you want to win a helmet autographed by the 2020 NFL rushing champion, visit TennesseeTitans.com/fans. TennesseeTitans.com/fans. You can enter to win an exclusive Derrick Henry autographed helmet. Contest for this ends on Sunday, so enter today, TennesseeTitans.com/fans. You can also become a member of the Titans family by ordering your Titans season ticket membership. You can be a part of the Two-Tone Blue in 2021. Call or text 615-565-4200 to purchase yours today. And swing by the Titans Locker Room Team Store this weekend, today, whenever it might be, as you lead up to game day, of course, on game day. You can get the AFC Championship gear, including hats, sweatshirts, pennants, commemorative hat pin. Plus, they've got the playoff slogan, Never Satisfied, long sleeve tee and hoodie. There's the Derrick Henry back-to-back rushing championship tee, and all knit hats are $19.95. It's Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll see you soon at the Titans Pro Shop.
Is that going to become the vernacular? Are we going to call it Super Wild Card Weekend? I'm calling it Wild Card Weekend. It's better Wild Card Weekend, but I don't have to put it in the title.
That's what the league is calling it.
Super Wild Card Weekend? I feel like it's in between Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers.
Well, they're calling it that just to market the fact that there's an extra game each day.
I love it. I love the lineup.
I love it
this
too, but I'm not calling it Super Wild Card Weekend.
You're like John Feinstein. Just out of protest, John Feinstein hates trademarks from the NCAA, so he refuses to say them.
Which is the trademark in Indianapolis is what?
Battle in the Bubble. Well, this is actually pretty smart. They filed this the day that the SEC tournament
was canceled.
Yes. Once everything started canceling in March, they filed for trademark that moment for Battle in the Bubble. That's pretty good.
I mean,
it's
fine for a T-shirt and all of that. I'm fine with them marketing it as that. Calling it Wild Card Weekend.
I don't even think that they're going to market. The NCAA tournament is not going to be marketed that way by the time it comes around.
Paul, I'll be honest. It said super on here, so I read the word.
No, I know.
This weekend, I will refer to it as Wild Card Weekend. That's what I was asking. The league. Right. Yeah.
We're not a Super Wild Card Weekend true.
For all I know, it's a typo on the sheet.
We're not that into the idea where we have to say.
We're looking forward to the games and to the extra games.
Kirby, would you call it Super Wild Card Weekend or Wild Card Weekend this weekend?
Mediocre wild card.
Super duper.
Mediocre wild card.
Kirby's averse to all change, so he's a more of just a standard wild card weekend guy.
So super duper.
He just calls it the first round.
Yeah.
Yes,
round one.
Yes, Dennis?
So you're telling me that this is news that probably went under the radar of many people. The NHL sold the naming rights to its four divisions last week.
Yeah, no, we talked about it. So, I don't know if you were around or not. Go ahead, hit me with those names.
There's no way I'm ever referring to these as what they are. No one
else. Load your updates with those.
I know that the Preds are in the Discover division.
They need to discover how to win a playoff series.
Yeah, this is for the
Hooters West.
The televised games that we're never going to see because they're never on in our area.
Discover.
The Maxim East.
It's the Scotia NHL.
It would be great if it was Tawdry Companies.
Your updated schedule in the KY Central.
Yeah. Here in the Hustler West. I mean, this would get people talking.
I think the NHL would sell their soul to keep their divisions alive at
this
point.
2021 Ashley Madison division champion. Nashville Predators.
This creates the kind of buzz that they're lacking. Is it not? Look,
when you have a team in Canada that can't pay their hotel bill, from last year's regular season.
Regular season, not late.
You will sell your divisional rights to anyone that wants to pay.
What if you sold your team, your naming rights for the year?
I'm shocked they don't have. Predators. Yeah, I'm shocked they don't have huge logos everywhere this year.
Yeah. You're making a hand gesture like you're holding boobs.
It's more of the collar and not the breast. Is where I was making the hand gesture.
I thought you just had a high pair. Like an aces.
Oh, very perky.
It was the goalie reference right there on the shoulder.
Rename your team for the year to a sponsor and just be like, I don't know.
Here you go, Paul.
Give me a company. McDonald's, AKA Predators.
It's the Scotia North Division, the Honda West Division, Discover Central Division. The Preds are in that one. And the Mass Mutual East Division.
I just think that they wildly overestimate the usage of this. I understand it'll be on, like, TV when you're putting up the standings. It'll be on TV. But are print outlets using these? When I go to ESPN, who's not a partner of the NHL, are they calling them these things?
No, it's just for broadcast purposes. But that's all they care about. They just want people to hear the name of their company over and over on the broadcast.
Okay,
they
don't, Kirby, your time's
over. They don't expect normal people on the street to be like, have you checked those Discover Division standings? Lebowski chimes in and says, it's the 2021 NBA Only Fans Finals.
Meanwhile, the NFL just finished their regular season and begin the postseason by playing.
Yep.
No postponements for the weeks. They got all their games in, and now they're telling the Browns you're playing Sunday.
Guys who got a vote or
you know what?
Votes for All-Pro, Ben Jones, Roger Saffold, Nate Davis, I think that's it. Derrick Henry got 47. Alvin Kamara got the remainder.
That is it for the show. Thank you to all the Midday 180 season ticket holders. Listen to Titans Radio on Sunday. Midday 180, delivered by Edley's Barbecue.
We love you, people. We'll always remind you, don't block the box and do lock the lock.